Pickaxe.
If you like to eat stress-free and healthy, like me, you can do it this spring with Factor. They have delicious, ready-to-eat meals, everyone is fresh, never frozen, and chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 different options, including popular ones such as Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or like me, vegan and veggie. There are more than 60 add-ons you can discover every week, such as breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages to help you stay fueled and feeling good all day long. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. If you're looking for gourmet options, there are meals that have premium ingredients, such as filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini and asparagus. And they are no fuss, no mess. Factor eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking and cleaning up. Simply heat and enjoy the good stuff. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and you can pause or reschedule deliveries at any time. Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. This month, we're celebrating Earth Day. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So head on over to factormeals.com/pickaxe50 and you can use code PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your second box. That's PICKAXE50 at factormeals.com/PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is going. Check it out.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back
to the most offensive podcast on the planet.
Very polarizing.
Very polarizing.
Where three idiots talk about stuff they don't know about, speculate wildly, don't take positions, and flip-flop either side of the line.
Yeah, just based on very much no knowledge on any of the topics discussed. So, if you were looking for a podcast where three people who don't know what they're talking about try to talk about stuff, you found it.
We're over 100 episodes in. So
yeah. So
something's working.
So strap on and strap in, and
we're enjoying it.
Enjoy the ride, you know. Just enjoy it
by all means.
Yeah. Just imagine you've gone for some kind of family dinner, and you have three uncles. That's myself, Sips, and Lewis.
Yeah.
And they sit at one end of the table, and the other people in the family say, don't listen to any of the crap they come up with, honestly. Yes, you can have a laugh and listen in and everything, but don't believe a word they say. They're idiots.
Yeah.
That's us. We're the three uncles at the end of the table that nobody really wants to talk to.
No.
But we're so loud and obnoxious, and we're fucking talking over everybody that they just end up having to do it, and they just give up.
They give up.
They let it wash over them like a tide of shit from one of Sips' favorite things, the giant London sewage pipe.
A shit tsunami, yeah. A shit nami.
So what have you guys done this week?
Wait a second. Poonami.
Yeah.
Poonami. Poonami.
Poonami.
There we go. Sorry. Yeah, poonami. Yeah, that just came to
me. That's a different thing.
That's Poonani.
Poonani. It's close.
Boomers.
What did I do this week? Listen, I got one for you guys. I've been thinking about this one. Right. You've died, okay? You're overweight, a little bit overweight, okay? Turns out maybe you didn't lead the best life that you could have.
Right.
You thought you were, but you weren't, okay? You just didn't. So you wake up and you find yourself in a corridor. Not an overly tight corridor, but it's a corridor.
But you are overweight.
Okay? It's a little tight because I'm overweight, so.
Yeah.
you turn around and there is a wall. So there's only one way for you to go, and that's to follow the corridor, okay?
Okay.
It's just like an industrial, kind of like awfully lit corridor. It's not creepy in any way or anything. It is what it is. It's a corridor. You're walking down it because you have no other choice.
Right.
You can either just stand there and do nothing or start walking. So you start walking. And as you start walking, you notice that the walls starting to like close in a little bit, right? So the corridor is narrowing, right?
Okay.
But you can smell fresh air, like a hint of fresh air. and you could kind of hear nice sounds in the distance, like some birds chirping and just, it sounds nice, right?
Yeah.
You keep walking. The corridor narrows and narrows and narrows and narrows and narrows and narrows. And at this point, you can actually see. You're like, oh shit, there is an end to the corridor. There's something out there. It's not giving you much, but you can see that it's like beautifully outside. You know, there's like some trees and you can hear nature and you can hear some people laughing in the distance, probably having a picnic or something. You get to the edge of the corridor and it's too narrow for you to squeeze through, right? And you're stuck there forever just looking at what could have been, like, if only I'd lived a better life and wasn't so overweight, I could squeeze myself through that little gap.
But you could just run up and down the corridor and lose weight.
And get to paradise. No, no, you can't, because it doesn't work. Like, there's no weight loss in the afterlife. Or like,
so, because I'm slightly overweight,
in your personal
God
hell,
is going to punish me forever.
Yes.
Or the afterlife is going to, like,
well, right, and probably
tubby,
other stuff too.
You get
probably,
to stay there.
Probably other stuff too.
But you've done.
But it just so happens that it feels like you're being punished for being overweight.
Okay.
But that's just part of it.
That's just a small
part of
it.
Is there any follow-up, or is this just, that's
no, that's it. That's the rest of your eternity. Just like, oh shit, I wish I could fit through this gap.
Which circle of hell is this that we're trapped in here?
I'd say it's a pretty mild one. Like,
it's a rectangle,
of all the possible hells you could be stuck in, it's an annoying one for sure. You know, it's probably,
you're not in agonizing pain, but it's mental pain.
No, but your mental pain is
anguish for the rest of your life.
You're filled with anguish the whole time.
Do you feel like hungry and thirsty after a while?
Nah, those things don't really matter. I mean, maybe actually. Maybe.
What's back down the corridor?
Maybe just to spike, just that wall. The wall that was behind you when you spawned
nothing.
In. Yeah.
So you're trapped in there.
Oh, but that would be terrible.
Yeah.
So, for potentially trillions of years or whatever.
Yeah. These have been my shower thoughts most of the week. So
I spend a lot of time, I don't know if it's getting older, but I spend a lot of time thinking about hell.
Right.
And I read a book good few years ago now called Inferno.
Right.
About a guy who's a sci-fi writer, and he dies at a party and wakes up and he's in, he followed Dante's Inferno description of what hell is like.
Right.
He wrote this story, you know, as if he'd been there sort of thing. And you start off in a little sort of urn, and until, you know, you're stuck in there until for some thousands of years, or, you know, the time isn't really a thing in hell. That's like the whole point, is that you can't count the days or the minutes. It's just endless, interminable, like a bus ride where you don't really know where you're meant to get off and you're just going through industrial estates.
Right.
I think we can all relate to that. You're just thinking,
yeah,
when is this miserable ride going to end? There's nothing to look at. There's no one to talk to. I didn't bring anything with me to do. I'm just stuck here and I don't know when we're going to get where we're going. That's time. You know, you're just basically stuck there. So you're in this urn and eventually he cries out, God help me. And the urn breaks open. He's in this giant field surrounded by urns. It's just like a sandy desert and all these other urns there. And he just starts walking and he's walking towards stuff and it's not getting any closer. And eventually this guy comes over to chat to him and he sort of tries to tell him, look, you're in hell. And he's like, don't be ridiculous. I must have had my brain frozen and I've woken up in the future and this is some weird alien theme park. Like, he's trying to figure it out because he's an atheist. He's trying to figure out in his mind, this can't be real.
Yeah.
And it's his adventures in hell, if you like.
Right.
And it's good. I recommend it. It's very old fashioned. It's very 70s sci-fi.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. I,
yeah.
I'd read
but
that,
it's,
yeah.
It's got some silly stuff. Like, he bumps into quite a few famous people there,
right,
in hell. Billy the Kid bumps into him.
Right.
And there's all kinds of weird rules that scare me about hell. Because in this version anyway, in order to get from this field of urns or whatever you'd call it to the judgment area, you have to cross the river Styx, right? And you have to pay the toll to the guy, what's the name of the boatman? Anyone remember? Is it Charon? It could be Charon.
Yeah, something.
And
like
you give him the coin and he takes you over. If you fall in the water or jump in the water, you're stuck there forever. There's no chance of redemption.
Right.
And I was like, well, that fucking sucks. I mean, nobody knows the rules, which kind of sucks. But as he goes into hell, all the people getting punished in different ways.
Right.
And the main reason they're being punished is because they haven't changed as people.
No.
So if they're still doing the same bad stuff. So he sees these two groups of people. Well, he sees these two groups of people who are pushing a boulder. And one team is trying to push it up the other team's hill. And the other team is trying to push it up the other team's hill. And they're sort of doing battle over this stupid boulder. And it's never going anywhere because, of course, in this version of hell, if you die or are injured, a little while later, you'll be healed so that you can't just kill yourself and get out of it that way.
Sure.
You can't take injury and you don't age, so you're just stuck forever. And even though you can suffer horrible injuries and pain, you'll heal again. I actually stole it for the Bodega book, as I did everything in the Bodega book. But it's sort of, I just thought it was a really interesting idea because it's important that in hell, there's no escape, right? There's no time, there's no escape. Your body is not, it can be horribly deconstructed, but it'll automatically reconstruct itself so you can be tortured again. So he sees these two groups of people fighting, and he's like, why are you doing this? And they're just like, we've got to. Those bastards over there are trying to push it up our hill. And it's like they're stuck there torturing themselves with something that they have brought with them, if you like. It's not a punishment that they can't escape from. All they have to do...
So what are they, just competitive dad?
They're like these kind of competitive assholes that, you know, never give up and nobody beats me.
They can't see past the competition. They can't see the bigger picture sort of
thing.
Their
ego won't let them or whatever.
Right.
Is there an equal hill across the road where there's the lazy people, you know, who are, do you know what I mean? And they're just sitting on their boulders forever, like smoking weed. And they're doomed to do that because they can't be asked to push the boulder.
If you read the book, it's not a very big tome. I think it's out of print. I bought it.
Honestly, like these things, you can be done for anything. Like you could be done for being like paying too much attention to your dick and not paying enough attention to your dick.
But that's the point. Is that he finds all these people. One of them is this old lady who was his neighbor, who was a sweet old lady, but she was a bit of a gossip. And she's got this hideous punishment. She has to like carry this superheated piece of metal that covers her. It's like a cage that she's stuck in and everything. And he's like, this is so out of line with what she did. Like this punishment is so awful. And what she did was just not that bad. How can this be? And he comes to realize that in fact, they could all just escape these horrible punishments if they work together or if they would listen, or if they would change a little bit, which I thought was interesting. So the whole point of it was to make you face what it is about you that was bad, and by doing that, to beat it.
You'd think that would happen pretty fast. People would learn pretty fast.
You would think, because you're there for thousands and thousands of years.
I'm
learning an afternoon. Like, yeah, all right, maybe I shouldn't be gossiping. All right, I'm going to definitely... This burning cage is pretty awful.
Yeah, but I don't think I don't think people realize, because I don't think people... There's people out there, lots of people out there who don't have any insight into what they're doing and how it could be wrong. They just assume that what they're doing is right, sort of thing. And they will never be able to accept any like any blame or any responsibility for you know, potentially inflicting misery upon another person, sort of thing. You know what I mean?
It's sort of like
really basic human nature, isn't it? It's why people can do horrible things to each other.
You're right. And where's the line? And who's the moral? Where's the book that explains what you should and shouldn't do?
I like that. That's interesting, though.
You smiled at a gay man. That a million years in hell. It's like, what? Yes, it says that in the Bible that you shouldn't be nice to gays. You should hang them. It's like, okay. Well, sorry.
Yeah.
Whoops. Guess I'm going to hell then. Who's the authority of this shit? And it's so out of date so quickly.
Well, the authority is God, obviously, I think. But I don't think if there is a hell, I don't think it would be judged in quite that way. I really don't know. Because it would be too arbitrary. And it wouldn't make sense.
It's so flaky and loose. Like, what's scary is that we just don't know. And if you try and follow these 2,000-year-old texts, you know, all you're going to do is scare yourself silly, assuming you're doing everything wrong. I don't know. It's all bollocks.
I'm not scared of a fucking book, you pussy. What are you talking about? It fucking takes more to scare me.
Okay. It's weird, isn't it? It's really interesting to think about, because there's so many depictions of hell. And you see it in like loads of movies depict it differently.
I like the concept though, and I like
it's a very interesting thought.
I really like what Flax is saying about the old lady whose only crime is being a gossip, which in itself is kind of shitty, right? You don't really want to be gossiping too much, because it can be harmful. You know, it can ruin people's lives or
but
make
the
them
alternative
miserable or
is keeping secrets.
No, yeah, but I love the either, I love that she's got like this fucking hideous like cage made of lava that she's stuck in that she could get out of, but she can't figure out how. Like I would totally
she
watch
can't stop gossiping.
A TV show series
she's
about
whispering
that.
Through like, the bars. Oh, did you hear about Sharon? She's got a new handbag. Oh, I don't know how she affords that. I saw her queued up for food stamps last week, but she's
Gucci.
Got a new handbag.
It's Gucci. Can you believe that? How could she afford Gucci?
Do you know what I mean? It's like, shut up, woman. If you just stop gossiping, yeah. We'll get this cage off
your,
you.
Get back in your lava cage.
All right, so here's the one of the sillier parts in the book is that he meets this guy early on, his sort of guide, Benny, who seems to have some kind of powers, if you like. Like, he understands hell better than Alan, who's the Alan Carpentier, who is the main guy. And he seems to know how to get around certain things and everything. And later on in the story... Benny falls into this pit with all these really bad people. And I think Alan has to rescue him somehow. I can't remember the details.
Is there no lifeguard for this in hell? I feel like...
There's a lot of tumbling into things.
I feel like you shouldn't be just... First of all, health and safety is... It feels like that should be in the
Bible. Or hell and safety, I guess.
Oh!
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? Like, you can't have someone who's done, like, you know, you can't have, like, someone who's done something really small... Like, I don't know, accidentally...
That was my point. Someone is a gossip.
Spilled, like, a coffee on someone, but didn't
they
need to.
They trip over a straight urn and fall in the river Styx. That's it. That's your ass forever. No
you
escape.
You can't just put clumsy people in hell, you know. It's not... You know, they're not... It's not
just
bad.
Filled with Mr. Magoo's. Oh, shit. Oh. Whoops.
But get this. It gets a little silly. So Benny... His guide turns out to be Benito Mussolini.
Oh,
he
nice.
Reveals that he's
shit.
Benito Mussolini all this time.
Oh, this is my friend Addie.
Addie Hitley.
Nice moustache.
This is Pol Pot. He's a nice guy, a little clumsy.
No masking of the name.
If you like, I introduce you to Stalin.
Yeah, this is Stalin. But we got a little gang going here, you know. Don't worry. Yeah, but I just thought it was funny. So at the end, they have to climb up this big statue of the devil, and at the top, it turns into heaven. But you've got to climb up it. And they get there, and Alan realizes that Benito's been here before. Because he's like, you've been here before, and you didn't go up. And he's like, well, yeah, but, you know, I had to come back and help other people. Like, it's not fair for me to just fucking leg it. And Alan realizes that that's his redemption, is that Alan turns around and goes back to help other people get out. And that in a way, even though it's going to be more suffering, he knows the escape now. He's going to bring other people there. I thought it was actually a really interesting story.
Idea.
Yeah. I like that idea that in a way is how you've earned it, is by saying, no, I could have redemption right now, but actually I don't deserve it yet. I'm going to go back and help some other people.
So
what
you're saying is that they're deliberately not putting any kind of systems in place in hell to redeem anyone. They just want other people who were trying to redeem themselves to help other people redeem. Do you know what it's like? It's like someone automating a system like Steam or whatever. It's like Valve have like 3 employees, like, you know, and they all the rest is just everyone
they're relying
else does
on the community.
Themselves.
They're relying on
the
community.
User base and the game devs and the reviewing system and everything like that's all done by
them.
They
make a lot of rules for hell, right? Like there's never rules for heaven because I don't think that the way that we talk about hell and what types of hell there are and stuff like that means that like heaven would be different to what we think, right? Like
it would have to be.
What's your ideal heaven? Your ideal heaven is you having a fun time sinning, pretty much, right? And I think that goes for most people. And obviously that can't be. So, like, say we're talking about hell, and say hell is just
my
like,
idea of heaven is it's really hot, you know.
No,
it's
no, no,
got
but
like but, maybe like there's a barbecue going on.
Yeah, no, but you, but
smell
the,
of meat.
The thing is,
you know,
I want to be slaying pussy and snorting coke 24/7.
Well, this is it. But
there's like a
that's
rock
a thing.
Music going on.
Humans can't exist in heaven because they just don't have the capacity to.
We are describing hell. Yeah.
People there?
I don't think there can be. Okay, so
but then equally, you can't live with them and you can't live without them. Like, we're social creatures. I can't live without people.
In the same way hell is like an eternity of like anguish or something, like how I was talking about that corridor and that's you for eternity, right? You're just like, fuck, I can't get through this. Ah, you know, you're just like frustrated. You're filled with anguish. There's no getting better. There's no way around it. That's it, right? That's it. So heaven has to be the same thing. It has to be like Think of something nice, like you're laying on a beach. Okay.
Boring. I can't do that forever.
But you have no concept of anything else. So it's just nice. You're just relaxed forever. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I'll get bored.
You wouldn't, though. You wouldn't have the same mind you have now. Because if you have the same mind that you have now, you can't be in heaven.
But then
you want to do things that aren't heavenly.
But then de facto, that's not heaven.
No, but I mean...
Like, that's being seen.
Hell, we accept that hell should be some sort of like... punishment where like you have like some anguish, so you'd have to have your mind, right? Because you'd have to be able to say fuck, this sucks, you know what I mean? But in heaven,
I'm lying around in a kind of blissed out non-thinking unconscious
state. You're just like on drugs forever.
That sounds terrible,
but that's how it would have to be.
No, I disagree.
You couldn't have a place where you could just like fuck bitches all the time and do drugs and stuff like that, because it's all sinful. That you can't sin in heaven,
right? But the point is, I just spent my whole life not sinning. You gotta let me sin.
But having a really relaxing, torture-free eternity is the payoff, right?
But but it means nothing.
Okay, well, I would rather be bored. I'd rather be bored laying on a beach and be relaxed than fucking stuck in some anguishing hell. Like,
but that's the point. Is that you have to have something to compare it to. Otherwise, it's not heaven. We learned this from the Matrix people. An entire crops were lost.
I know, but...
Do you not remember?
But the thing is, though, I don't think a heaven exists that would be ideal for you, Flax. I don't think it can exist. I think it
can
contradicts
exist. It absolutely
itself.
Can exist.
Right. So what? So describe me a heaven.
I'll tell you what it
that,
is.
A legit heaven that has no sin or anything in it.
All right, I'll tell you what it is.
That you would enjoy for the rest of eternity.
They just put you back again. It's just Earth again.
Right.
But this time, everything works out for you.
Right.
So you see the same shit, everything like that, but everything seems to work out for you. You end up fucking Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos' reincarnation here, he's already died in some previous life. This is Jeff Bezos 2.0, maybe 12.0, I don't know.
Right.
And if you have a lousy life, you come back as another person and have a shit time. One of those people that just nothing goes right for them.
Right.
You know what I mean? You had a good life, you come back as another person, and everything works out for you.
But even people like that can find happiness, though. Like, it's not that black and white, right? Like, some people have really miserable lives, but...
They're the happiest people.
But they go on to carve out happiness within that somehow.
Right, but then that's... They've
lived the best life, right? Because
but that's a new
they've
soul.
Figured it out.
So we got some new souls and some more. Because obviously there have to be more souls now because there are more people, right?
Well,
think
maybe.
About it.
I don't know.
So
I mean,
there are more people. Isn't it that there are more people alive today than have ever lived or some shit like that?
Yeah.
So there must be new souls coming along. So that's their first run, the middling ones.
How
the
do
ones
we know, though? The only concept that we have on the population of this planet is based on where we're at right now. We don't know. It's been around a long time. I mean, there could have been, like, other races that have just been, you know.
Don't you think there'd be some evidence?
Look at dinosaurs, and that's like...
We know about them.
I know, but I'm saying, like, what about way before them? Like, there could have been anything.
Wait, maybe not.
The Earth could have been like much more different.
No.
Yeah, it could have been made up of like jelly men
that
have all dissolved and all the evidence is gone.
You don't know.
Or ghosts.
Oh my goodness.
Ghosts, people. Like, no, honestly, like, so you guys are right. Like, the idea.
No. We are not right. Sips is definitively wrong. He's claiming that before the dinosaurs, there was some other jelly people.
I'm not saying that there was. I'm saying that there could have been. You don't know for sure.
Hey, that's a very scientific outlook. We just don't know, P-Flex.
You're telling me that before, like, we've got the very earliest, a lot of the very, very early life forms. We have fossil records for that. You're saying that before that, an entire race lived, evolved, was on the Earth in its very early stages.
It's possible, Flex, we haven't even been to the bottom of the ocean yet. Who knows what's down there?
Sand.
Yeah, only James Cameron went down there.
Sand and dead fish.
Well, I'm just saying, anything is possible. I don't think you can discount it. You never know. Maybe in 100 years, you'll look back on this because you'll be a head in a jar or something on a spaceship. You'll be like, holy fuck, Sips is right.
Not on your bloody spaceship, mate.
I wish I had expanded my mind a little bit instead of being so fucking sure of myself this whole time. Because 100 years on, look at this guy was actually
This is a really interesting thing. The classic idea of hell is this kind of fiery pit of physical torture.
Instead, it's this podcast.
It's very
dated in the idea that it's supposed to whip people into line and get them to believe in God and be good and virtuous, or else, you know, it's a punishment. It's a very naive, low level, something you have for a 5 year old, you know, eat your dinner, or, you know, you're going to have to go to
the room and get slapped for all eternity.
Yeah, you might get a smack, you know, behave yourself
before
you get
smacked. It's weird, right? I like thinking about it because there's a lot to think about, but I'm not. I wouldn't like, it's not something I'm interested in like practicing or reading any facts
about.
We just
like to think about it, right? It's just an interesting thing.
It's like a mental like puzzle or something, you know? Yeah. Like I just like to sort of think about it. I don't know. It's
but I do understand what you're saying about you couldn't have heaven because sinning is fun.
Yeah.
And sinning by definition could not exist in heaven. But I think the whole idea is that you get to heaven, you get a free pass.
I mean,
you know what I mean? It's like you've got the ticket at the theme park that lets you skip all the queues. God's like, do you know what? You've had a great life. You've done really well. Fuck as many prostitutes and snort as much. Like,
yeah.
Go wild.
Yeah.
I'm going to look the other way.
But here's the thing. All of that stuff doesn't make any sense, right? None of it does, because people are dynamically changing and constantly evolving. Unless you somehow, when you die, you're like locked in a specific sense of mind. Like, for example, even with like physical torture, okay, if you're being like flame grilled on a fucking, you know, barbecue on a spit roast every day and like rotated around like a roast pig, like after a few days your brain is going to have adapted to that, and you know, and even if you're continually healed or through magic or some bullshit, you know, ugh, it's stupid. The point is that there's other tortures that are
well,
necessary.
Yeah, they mix it up.
To
I used to
like
think
mental
that-
torture. But also the same thing with heaven. Like, you know, you do smoke and blow and cook as one day. You're not going to want to do that every day forever.
No, but I like the
option. Mix it up. And so, you know, that's the thing. Like, it's got to be constantly dynamically changing, and someone has to craft that.
No.
It just becomes out of control. It's just because
like
you
a world.
Would then start.
It's like a world.
If you start sinning and doing coke and stuff, and then heroin, and you get addicted to it. What is it? Some special heroin that you don't get addicted to?
Yeah, like, you don't get addicted to it.
And it doesn't give you any poisoning or anything. Like,
no, nothing.
I mean, here you go. Like, it's all. But yeah, who is establishing these rules, and how are they
God.
Fucking? Yeah, but who's?
Because he's God.
I know, it's stupid.
Yeah,
you
can't just say
bullshit.
That though. Listen, I thought at one point, I was like, you know what would be really cool? A really cool heaven would be you live like a decent life and you have lots of happy memories or whatever. You arrive in heaven and it's just like a control room where you have like your brain has been modified so that you can like very quickly identify a point in time and travel back to it and relive like a happy time. Right.
Yeah.
So like,
I would like to be able to explore the universe.
So you could just randomly go back and just be like, oh, fuck. Okay, I really want to just have dinner with like my small kids and my wife again or something. A happy memory. Right.
Yeah. Right. Or I want to go and I would love to, if I could like go throughout human history,
sure.
Go and watch some of the battles in the Punic Wars, or go and see the dinosaurs, or travel to a distant planet where
okay,
there's also life and
actually,
just observe.
That
them.
Would be so fucking miserable. And you would just feel like shit all the time because you're traveling in the past in places that you can't make any changes. There's nothing for you to progress. There's no way for
you
to change.
How about you can make changes?
As a,
how about
as
there
a
is
person,
things you should progress?
You can't make changes but, in history.
Well, we're just allowing anything though.
No,
we're not. He's saying they can't.
So you go back to these times and you relive these memories, but that's all they are. They're just memories. And you get nothing from them except for misery, right? Because you're just like, oh, fuck. As much as I enjoyed that, I miss that. And at the time, I didn't fully appreciate it.
Yeah, but
and
you'll
now
see,
here
you'll
I
see
am,
them again.
Filled with sorrow and sadness because...
But now you're describing hell. This is hell.
Yeah, exactly.
You're in the wrong
exactly.
place, mate.
Right, but,
climb
but,
up the statue.
Sipsy, you're going to see them again in heaven.
Yeah, but
They're
you might not,
be in
though.
Heaven.
It depends
that,
on what heaven
very
you get.
Sad.
Yeah, I know.
So maybe you can go into hell and pull them out like Benito Mussolini did in,
right, yeah.
in the
yeah.
book Inferno. Send me in, boss.
I like thinking about it, but every time I think about it, I realize how... improbable the whole thing has to
oh,
be
yeah.
like it's
oh,
impossible
yeah.
because I don't think that anybody can be truly happy in any capacity other than in the exact moment they're in, right? Like that's the only way to be happy, to like to,
that's
to
a
take
beautiful sense,
every minute to just think, what am I doing right now? Am I happy doing this? I'm happy, right? You can't like retrospectively be like, I was happy, because you don't know for sure, right? Because like,
or I will be happy when,
or, and you can't
I
look to the future and be like,
whatever.
I'll be happy no. because I'll have X amount of money or whatever. Because that's the thing, you take yourself with you everywhere, right? If you're a miserable person, you will just be miserable. It doesn't matter what happens, right? Like, it doesn't matter what happened in the past. Well, maybe it does a little bit matter what happened in the past. It doesn't matter what will happen in the future. everything good could happen to you in the future, but you're a fucking total wet ass. You know, you're just like
wet ass.
You're just like a fucking streak of piss, right?
And I do think one thing was funny is you said that you'd be watching, like if I said you could travel to any period in time and watch it, you were like, yeah, but you wouldn't be able to change anything. That's television, isn't it? Like you just
it's interesting. But like if that was your whole existence all of a sudden.
No, it's just one aspect.
It would be interesting for a while and then you'd just be like, fuck me. Like,
think about this. Can you imagine if you could travel to an alien world and watch their civilization develop? Watch their TV shows. How fucked up is their Game of Thrones going to be? Alien Game of Thrones. It'd be great.
It would be so fucking tedious. Like it would suck.
It'd be fascinating.
I think you two have to understand that this you're confused about. You're arguing about something that isn't going to ever exist. Like, have you watched?
All right, Mr. Fun.
On one hand, you're saying that you could do anything, but it would be bad.
Let's argue about Lewis's sex life now on the topic of arguing.
It's something that isn't going to exist, right?
It's like I could do something that's... I'm in heaven. I could do something incredibly bullshit, supernatural, magical, but it would suck. Yeah. It's like, well, No, it would, though.
Realistically, everything would...
It's just a conversation.
It would suck after a while.
We're just having a chat. I think so.
Have you seen The Good Place, the TV show?
Oh,
no,
the first series?
I haven't seen it, no.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's good. It's about... It's the idea is that, you know, that these people are sent to heaven, but it's not their heaven, really, and it doesn't feel like heaven to them, you know? It's clever. You should watch it. It's funny and it's good, and it plays with that heaven hell kind of concept. You know, there's this idea that they're in the good place,
and it's got Jamila Jamil in, and she is fine.
Oh my gosh! Well, there you go.
She is fine.
Glowing accolade for that. Holy crap!
There you go.
So one thing I saw this week on Twitter was this post that was going around, and it was basically this thing about aphantasia. Which is
that
this...
where you can't imagine things when you close your eyes? You've got no mind's eye, is that right?
Yeah, it's where you can't visualize images or
is it
things
the apple?
In your
Holy
eye.
Crap, that would suck.
Was it the think of an apple?
It's a curse and a blessing at the same time, really.
Yeah,
like, being the opposite of that.
Well, it's something I'd sort of never heard of, really, and it was something that we've never really even acknowledged. You know, when we were kids or when we're at school, people are like, oh yeah, this guy's dyslexic. Or, you know, this guy's autistic or this guy's, you know, but aphantasia is this thing where you don't have, it's not like you don't have an imagination necessarily, but it's like you can't visualize images.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I think it is this, for a second, you know, I was like, because the way the sort of the scale was presented was it was presented as like, you can visualize a beautiful, red, crisp, vivid apple, okay? So if I were to tell you, like, can you imagine an apple in your mind right now? What does that look like? And it sort of had this scale, and it was like the next one was a little bit kind of fuzzy. The next one was like black and white. The next one was like kind of just a blur.
It was like looking at graphics through the ages, I would say.
Yeah, and talking to certain people about it afterwards and reading some stuff about it, it feels like it's something to do. It's not, people aren't always the same on the scale, but it doesn't actually matter. You can improve on the scale. But some people obviously don't have a mind's eye, and that is a sort of a thing with their brain. But it's not necessarily like crippling.
What does it do to them? Like, what are they not as good at? Imagination stuff, or like you remember that test you do in maths where you had to transpose shapes? It's like, if I flip this triangle through 80 degrees, which of these would it most resemble? You know, and you have to sort of, you know, which shape fits into this? Is that the kind of thing they can't do, or is that? Because that's visual on a page, that's no problem. But if they had to imagine something, are they like the worst inventors ever because they can't imagine stuff? How does it manifest itself?
I'm not sure. Like, I'm not sure if it's like one of those things which actually helps you in some ways or, you know, in some things and hurts you in others, you know. But it doesn't seem to be that big of a deal. But it was strange because Neil Gaiman... who's the famous, you know, writer and guy who mostly, honestly, Neil Gaiman, I used to really enjoy his writing, but it's sort of recently sort of become a bit more, oh, I went outside into my garden and at the bottom was the fairy cottage and I spoke to the fairy queen and she told me to go climb the beanstalk into the wizard's tower.
Oh, man,
and
up my
there
daughter
was
would love all that.
All that.
She's
gosh,
four.
And honestly, recently he's written a lot of amazing stuff. Anyway, he responded with a tweet. Oh, the apple I imagine isn't just a red apple. It's a covered in dew on a tree, and you can see the sunrise and all this stuff, right? And someone responded to him saying, "We get it, Neil, you have like an amazing imagination, you know." And he sort of responded saying, "Oh, I didn't realize anyone didn't. I thought everyone was number one like me, you know. I thought we were just going to post, you know, what we imagine without out of our imagination." But a lot of people have trouble apparently seeing things in their mind's eye, or when they close their eyes or when their eyes are open. And I was wondering if for you two, what it was like, because for me, it's not easy to imagine things in my mind's eye. And I certainly can't, it certainly doesn't seem to me to be a vivid or like real seeing. It certainly is blurrier. So for example, a test one of the tests that it sort of says is, imagine someone that you know, okay, not well, that maybe you haven't, or quite well, but maybe you haven't seen them for a little while. So maybe like if we imagine each other, can you see my face like floating in your mind's eye as I'm talking to you?
I don't see it floating. I can see you like within the context of like a situation though. Like if in my mind I can like picture you like, you know, at a restaurant or something like that, you know, looking deep into my own eyes.
Well, it's not like I close my eye and your face is floating in my vision.
No.
It's like I know it's in there.
It's
and
not
I can
like my lovely
it.
Horse from Father Ted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's more like, you know, when you're daydreaming and your eyes almost stop seeing the world.
Yeah, you stare through the world sort of thing.
Yeah, and the world is kind of gone and your eyes are just like ignoring what they're seeing. And instead, it's almost like a dream.
Yeah.
In the daytime, I guess they could call it a daydream.
Yeah.
It's just like float. It's almost like you're seeing it and dreaming. And I can picture stuff like that. So when I'm trying to picture something in my mind, if I can do it, if I'm in the mood to do it, I'll kind of go blank and I'll just go away and I'll just sort of be, it's almost like a lucid dream.
Yeah.
So picture me in your mind.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Put your clothes on right now.
If you
now.
Want me to picture your head floating around, I can do that as well. Okay. Your head is now floating around in my mind. I can see it.
Yeah.
Okay. So do I have a body? Can you picture my body as well?
Yeah. A little skinny body.
If you want a body, I can add one to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Can you make me like walk around and stuff?
Yeah. Uh-huh. You're wearing a blue jumper.
You're moonwalking now. In place for me.
Yeah, I can see him moonwalking too. Good job.
Oh my god. Okay, can you like pick out the details on like the clothes I'm wearing and
you
stuff?
You got white shoes
like,
on.
Yeah, you got those white sneakers on. You got
You've
black
got
pair of jeans
sticky and, up hair.
And like a red woolly sweater.
I'll go for blue. I had blue, but red could work too. Let's change it to
What's the
red.
Expression on my face?
Goofy like, grin.
My,
yeah,
goofy
you just
Lewis
look
grin.
Just like normal. Like, you
like
know,
in a YouTube
no expression
thumbnail.
For me.
Really? So is this something that you have seen before? Or like, is it like a photo?
I've seen you before,
no,
yeah.
Now you're doing the Russian dance for me, you know, the one.
Does it look like a memory or like a computer generated image of me or
no,
something?
It
what's
just,
it, what's
you just
it?
Conjure it up. It's like
it's a
I'm
mix,
imagining
it's a
you
mix
doing
of
it.
Things that I've seen before, but all I've done is I've transplanted your face onto
So is
it.
This very, very vivid
so
to you? Is
it's
it like
it's like a complex mix of imagery that I have seen before.
It's not like
a
photo.
Like a real
it's not like a photo. You know in a dream when if you're focusing on one thing in the dream, Your mind fills in the background. Nobody's just floating in darkness, unless that's the dream. But like, if I'm imagining someone in a room, I have a sense of the place that they are.
Yeah.
But I couldn't peer at the detail without that becoming the dream.
Do you
so
always,
it's like
you
having a very
somebody,
narrow lens.
When you picture somebody in a room, is it always like a very similar room? Like my go-to room is like a grandma's nursing home room for some reason. It's
no,
weird,
I tend
it?
To think of a place that I associate them with.
It's
so
just,
when I pictured
it's just
Lewis,
like a bit beige with some floral accents, and like,
yeah.
But I can change the room,
right?
But like my default, like if somebody says I'm in a room, I'm just like,
that's your starter level.
That's my
your starter
start,
level.
That's
is,
my first room. Okay. Yeah, every time.
No, I tend to picture people in places that I either last associate them with. So I pictured a friend of mine. Who I hadn't seen in a few years, but the last time I saw him, we went to the pub near me. And so when I was picturing him, when you said picture a person that you haven't seen in a while, I thought of him. I remembered us in the pub garden and drinking a pint and having a laugh.
Yeah.
And then when you said Lewis, I was picturing him in the Yogscast office with all the bookshelf behind him with all the miniatures and stuff. That was the background.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, it was like a vague understanding of that background. I knew what it was, but I wasn't picking out every miniature in that fucking glass
another
cabin.
Place that I like to imagine people in is the Queen Vic pub in EastEnders. For some reason. No, I'm being deadly serious. Like it just, I like the aesthetic of it.
Serious.
Yeah, it's just like
not a time for laughing now, son.
I can smell that place, you know, every time I see it, I can like smell it. It's weird. It's just like, it just seems so familiar somehow, but like,
do you watch a lot of EastEnders?
Not even, no, not really. Mm. Just something about the look of it. Yeah.
So that's the other thing, isn't it? That you can smell and hear and sort of taste things. Like imagine if you imagine like right now, a lovely soft piece of bread, you know, can you like taste that a little bit?
I can smell it. Yeah. I can taste it as well. Yeah.
I have a very, very, very bad sense of smell. Most flowers, I can't smell them. Like Mrs. F will be like, smell this flower. And it's like, So when I find a flower that I can actually smell, I'm like huffing it like crazy.
Oh, man. Don't get me started.
It's amazing. But for whatever reason, my sense of smell is very bad. Always has been.
I think mine's average. I wouldn't say that I'm like sensitive. Yeah, well,
we don't, as humans, we don't use our sense of smell that much, do we really? Apart from the smell
of puke will make me puke. Like I can't. I hate this. I hate puke smell. Strong shit as well will make me almost puke. Yeah, I know.
The smell of puke is designed to make you puke because it's if someone else has puked, the whole point of a tribe is that it'll save the tribe.
You shun them and leave them for the wolves.
No, because if they've eaten something which is making them sick, you should also be sick.
Well, some people are really sensitive to certain smells. Like I know those ones are like the typical ones.
Yeah, yeah.
But like some people, it's almost like they have an allergy to a smell or something, right? Mm. They're like overly sensitive to it. And same with some people are like that with certain lighting, like lights.
And some people like they can't stand the feel of cotton wool. Like that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it's strange, eh? I don't know where all that comes from, but yeah.
I mean, so this Aphantasia thing, I just may be interested. I think the reality is that people are on different sides of the scale, definitely, and it is something that you shouldn't be worried about if it's harder for you to visualize things. And certainly, because I was concerned about, because I find it much harder to visualize things or to manipulate images in my mind. And some people just, it's very easy, it's very real, it's very vivid. Well, most people, I think, actually. And so, but apparently you can improve it by practice and it doesn't impact your life too much. But if you can't see anything, so there was this guy, Ed, who was the head of Pixar, Ed Catmull.
Right.
And he was doing some Tibetan meditation or whatever, which is a part of that is a visualization. And he was told as part of the practice to picture a sphere, you know, floating in front of him. And he just couldn't do it for like a week. And so he found out that, you know, lots of people were able to form mental images so strong they could open their eyes and the image would still be there, you know, so they could practically draw around the thing that they could see in front of them. But other people couldn't see anything at all. And in fact, unusually, quite a lot of very famous animators and artists, like the guy who created The Little Mermaid originally, has aphantasia. Lots of people do.
All right.
Sort of from hand drawn to digital. And it's apparently not like even like a problem. Like,
do you suppose that the desire from a young age, especially because most people that are brilliant, like at drawing or painting, always draw. And I wonder if part of it is a desire to picture things, even subconsciously. The rest of us can picture stuff in our mind, and that's fair enough. They want to draw stuff down because that's the only way.
Oh my gosh. Maybe. So Martin mentioned that Martin Littlewood said he was like a 5 on the scale, or whatever, like a sort of whatever it is, whatever the one where not able to sort of visualize things is. And that's unusual.
Yeah, it's a bit,
Never trusted him. Never trusted him. Now I know why.
Yeah, never trust a 5.
He's quite artistic, you know, and obviously got started sort of building things in Minecraft. And I don't know, like maybe that desire to build and create and show things in that thing comes out from there. I don't know. He's a creative guy though, and it's certainly like not.
I think there's different ways of being creative. Like you can be visually creative, but like there's other ways of being creative. Like you might not be able to picture something in your mind, but like you said, you might be able to go off and build something or design something really, really amazing or whatever.
Yeah, that's how you picture stuff, is your imagination goes onto the page rather than just
and some people's minds just work differently. They can invent something very complex that, you know, other people might not have been able to come up with.
I mean, was it Mozart or Beethoven could hear the whole symphony in his mind. Most people, when you're thinking of music and you're trying to imagine a tune, you're actually only really thinking of one track at a time.
Oh man, I would write some really boring music. Like all of my music is just like, but like I wouldn't know like where to put the bass lines or anything in. Like it would just be garbage, you know what I mean?
Well, we're not musicians.
Props to him for being able to fucking compose a symphony in his mind.
I'm going to do it. I know you don't like it, but Shout out to Beethoven / Mozart, whichever one it was.
Fucking, let's do it, guys. Let's do a shout out to them. Shout out people. We'll fucking shout out the greats. Fucking Beethoven and Mozart. Good job, guys. No, it is impressive. You think, like, you know, that's a while ago, too, that those guys came up with that shit.
Yeah, wow.
It is impressive how music and things like this do cause sometimes a reaction.
Emotional reaction. I can cry to music, easy. Like, I have done many times.
Last week, I was in Sips's kitchen,
right,
and we were playing... I said, Alexa, play Toto by Africa.
Yeah, and Lewis started to cry.
Africa by Toto, you goon.
We were all... Sorry.
Toto by Africa.
We were all bopping out, you know, just fine. But Sips's daughter was not having it.
No.
She was not enjoying it at all.
Well, it's not... It wasn't the choice of music. She's actually fairly agreeable. The problem with my daughter is that she's very stubborn. She gets it from me. So if she has an idea in her mind that we're going to be listening to I Like to Move It and we don't listen to I Like to Move It, she'll just sulk. Like,
no one's having a good time.
She'll just be fucking miserable about it. And let you know about it, too. She's got that type of personality, which I think she gets from me as well, where, like... You could just tell, you know, like when she's annoyed about something and like the whole atmosphere of the room is brought down by it as well.
I don't think I've ever seen you annoyed. I mean, I've seen you when you're playing a game, you get pissed off.
But
I've never, when I'm hanging out with you, I've never thought, man, Sips is in a bad mood. Like,
no, well, I don't really get into bad moods as such. I've seen you get angry,
but it's always slightly funny.
Yeah, well, it's always frustration with myself at a game or something like that, right? It's never like...
Well, the game.
I think probably like since I stopped working in an office and probably since I stopped having to be like a responsible adult for the most part, I've been the happiest I've ever been. So like I'm very seldomly like in a bad mood.
Right.
Would you say you're in heaven? Would you say this could be heaven?
This could be heaven
this
on
could
earth.
Be
yeah.
Heaven.
Yeah.
Or is this hell?
No, I think I'm a fairly content guy. Actually, it must be some form of heaven. Yeah. Like it's pretty good. But
wow, Jersey must be amazing.
I used to get
nice.
Like
nice
when
place.
I used to work and stuff. Like sometimes I'd go into work and I'd just be fucking so mad. Like I'd just be like, shit, I don't want to be here. I don't want to do any of this stuff. I hate all these people and stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
I get that.
Life can get you down for sure. But I'm lucky that I have a life that doesn't get me down so much now, you know?
Guess what I've been playing for the last few days?
Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Nope.
Connect Four.
Nope.
Don't break Scrabble. Break the ice. Break
nope, it's,
Toto
it's a video
by
game.
Africa.
It's a video game.
Toto by Africa. A video game. I know. You've been playing DayZ.
DayZ.
Cine came into my chat the other day and was like, come play DayZ. And it's like, DayZ.
Let me tell you something.
Somehow still worse than Overwatch.
It's super scuffed.
Quite an accolade.
But for some reason, I've been having fun playing it. I have some complaints. Obviously, I'm not going to go into them here because it's a little boring for everybody. But that game is still full price on Steam.
Oh, man. I like the idea of DayZ. I like the theme of DayZ. I just don't like DayZ. It's weird. Like, I've had very few experiences with it, and all of them have been bad.
You would hate it. Yesterday, I spent the whole morning stream running in the woods, getting attacked by wolves, fending off zombies. I didn't see another player for like 4 hours. And then I'm in the middle of nowhere. I'm walking towards this industrial site to go and loot it. I got my night vision goggles out. I'm peering around. There's no lads. I'm checking. I walk around. There's a dude on a rock. And he just goes, and just guns me down.
Yeah.
Hours of work gone. Yeah. My whole survival story for that character gone. But I immediately went back in and started again. I don't know why I'm hooked on it at the moment, but I am.
I'm like that with Overwatch now, like and have been for like 2 months. I don't know why.
Do you hate yourself?
I don't hate
myself.
Do
I hate myself?
Do you like torture? Because I found a game that you might like. It's a game called Stone Shard.
Oh, isn't that new? Yeah, no, I saw this.
It came out a week ago, yeah. It's been on early access for a little bit before that, but now it's like... It's like a single-player Battle Brothers, only you can only save at the inn.
Right.
And so you're kind of you have your mercenary, and so I started the game. I created my character. I went through the tutorial, blah blah blah. Did it all. It was fine. And then got into the game, created a character, walked out of town. There were two wolves there. They just savaged me to death.
Oh man!
And I was like, "The fuck is this?"
I can't find anything I want to play. Like, there's nothing new out that is overly appealing to me. Like, there's nothing that I've seen that's been like, "Oh fuck," you know, that looks good. I'm gonna try it out or whatever. And I'm kind of like, I know I'm playing a lot of Overwatch right now, which I have played a lot of in the past, but I'm at the point now where I'm just like, I don't really want to play City Skylines again. Like, I played it.
Yeah,
like,
no,
enough.
I played that.
You know what
for
I mean? Like,
so.
Prison Architect, I played tons of. I don't want to play it again. Like, RimWorld, I've played tons of. I don't want to play. You know what I mean? Like, I need like something new and exciting. It's just like, it's such a rut.
There are games in the works that I'm like, yeah, that looks interesting. That looks cool. But the thing is, do you guys ever play Game Dev Tycoon?
Yeah.
So, do you remember in that?
I've got it on my iPad now.
Oh, it's such a great game.
That's
right?
Really
I love
good,
that
yeah.
game.
It is.
So you know the way as you get bigger as a developer, your game development time ends up taking forever. Like, it's almost a whole year to develop a game because they're all AAA titles and you've got to get all these bubbles and everything like that for all your guys. Do you suppose that the games now are so complicated that there's just not as many of them? Like, the decent games take time. And there's only so many developers making decent games. So we're like, there's nothing out at the moment I want to play. It's like, it takes a long fucking time. People's expectations are so high.
Yeah.
You can't just knock a game out in a few months, bosh, done. It's got to have all these different layers and all the rest of it, just like in Game Dev Tycoon.
It's complicated because, like, the games are weird. And they try and do weird stuff, too. Like, sometimes they're like... Sometimes they're like a movie, like they've got full story and it feels like just a bad movie and it's like a bad slow movie, you know. And sometimes it's like a puzzle thing and it's like a complicated Sudoku or like, you know what I mean? Or sometimes it's a mix of those things. Sometimes it's like just a mindless shooty or a clicky thing. I played a little bit of like Wolchen, which is like a new kind of Diablo type right. game, and it felt like it was like the new evolution of Diablo, and I enjoyed it, but like at the same time it was like just a little bit like,
same-y.
Do I care? Yeah. Like, it's like I get it, like I think you have to hunt around, but there are hundreds of games coming out every week, like so many, and some of them are really quirky and cool and fun and chill and give you good vibes, good healthy new stuff going on in your brain. There's loads of good recommendations right. out there. So I would, if you're looking for a new game, just look at some best of 2019 lists and best of the decade, because there's been some really interesting games and you probably would have missed one. And I'm doing the same with books and stuff.
So how come, right? Civilization is one of the biggest sort of franchises of all time. Why aren't there more companies making Civilization style games?
Well, there are.
Why is there only one football management game?
Okay,
that's any good.
You know,
that's
listen, hear me out on this
it's
one, okay?
It's a huge seller.
You know, yeah. Farming Simulator?
Right.
I think their model is junk, okay? Like, I get it. Okay, you make one every year and you call it whatever the year it is and you sell all those copies or whatever. But honestly, I think Farming Simulator would be a fucking awesome game if it was a bit more like WoW or something. Like, instead of buying okay. a new game every year... Just have like a small subscription or maybe just like a one-time payment to just help them like add new features to Farming Simulator and just make one Farming Simulator really good instead of just releasing the same game year after year after year, right?
You should go on the podcast. Alex and the game devs in the office have made a new podcast. I think it's called like Pitch Perfect.
Right.
They're bringing people in to pitch their games
right.
and the game devs talk about whether the game would be possible or not to make and what the downsides would be. If you're interested in that, again, we just plug in another
that's
podcast.
Unbelievable.
Sorry,
I just
nuts.
Didn't want to
no,
do
no,
that.
No, no, that's cross-pollination. They have to pimp us now. And
yeah,
then the
you've
got to
make
complete.
Sure that they shout us out now.
Yeah, okay. No, Tom H is in it. He's good. He's funny. He edits this podcast.
Shout out to Tom.
He's a good lad.
Top lad. Cut that, Tom.
So, by the way, Oscars happened. Parasite won.
Great movie.
Have you seen Parasite?
Great movie.
No, I haven't seen it. People keep telling me I should see it.
It's come out of the cinema this week. And I watched it and I thought it was pretty weird.
Oh,
pretty
it's good. Weird, right. But it's very, very good.
I still haven't seen the most recent Star Wars, but like, I think I'm done.
Don't worry about that. It's not
I think I'm out. I think
so.
I'm
you
done.
Know what I watched last
You're
night? I watched The Towering Inferno. You heard of this movie?
Oh my God. T-Flex, do you watch it? Do you watch it on like ITV?
No, it was on TCM, Turner Classic Movies. And about 5 o'clock, because the kids come home from school, we're home at like 3:30, and I let them chill
Fred
and
Astaire,
play their games and stuff
Steve
for an hour
McQueen.
A bit. Then about 5 o'clock, I go downstairs and I watch some telly. So I watched The Towering Inferno. And for the first half hour...
It's quite famous.
It is a very famous movie. Kicked off a lot of those big disaster movies in the 70s, like Earthquake and stuff like that. And the whole point of it is, like, you know, someone's cut some corners somewhere and now they've got this fucking inferno in the tower. And there's always, like, certain trope characters that you've got in the 70s that always popped up that's quite funny to see. There's always a slightly chubby, rich, older woman who ends up getting stuck in something. Now, it always makes me laugh because in the Poseidon Adventure, they have the same thing. And I just think it's just funny, these characters that pop up, the same exact characters. If there's kids in the movie, they're always the archetypal American kid with the rosy cheeks and the freckles. Gee, mister, are we going up in the tower today? You know, that kind of stuff. And they're always called, like, Little Timmy or whatever. Those are real things that happened in those movies.
It feels so stereotypical, like hokey kind of stuff.
But that was, you know, that was the thing back then. It was like, put a bunch of kids in there and put them in an inferno or whatever. Steve McQueen, Paul Newman, they'll make a fortune. Like, that was it. There wasn't the same. That was like pre-Hollywood auteur movement when it was all taken over by the directors. That it was much more simple and straightforward.
Yeah.
Just bums on seats, you know, asses in seats. That's what we're looking for.
Gene Siskel of the Chicago Tribune gave it 2.5 stars, calling it a stunt and not a story. A technical achievement more concerned with special effects than with actual people. Our attitude towards the film's cardboard characters is, let them burn.
I mean, the funny thing is like the big action sequences in those movies, when you compare them, like if you watch, what is it called? Deepwater Horizon. That's a disaster movie, more recent disaster movie about the Deepwater disaster, like the oil rig that explodes and everything like that. And the actual sequence where it all fucking falls apart is incredible. It's very dramatic and very well done and very well shot. And it's genuinely sort of terrifying. Modern disaster movies, the disaster is so much more dramatic and amazing. Whereas in this, it's like they're in a corridor and the fire goes foomf. And then you cut to the outside, very distant shot of some poor special effects of fire on a building. And it's just sort of, it feels so basic and claustrophobic because, of course, they couldn't shoot things in the same way back then. So it is quite funny. When you watch Poseidon Adventure, which is a great movie, the whole boat they're on turns upside down and the ballroom is everyone's like sliding like that. But it feels quite simple by modern sort of standards. But these are fun movies. I recommend them. TCM chucks them out all the time.
Yeah, there was a bunch of this. There's a bunch of these. I mean, that sounds like Titanic was inspired by some of that, you know, luxury liner flipping over. I'm
pretty sure
the
Titanic happened before that, Lewis.
Yeah, but like in the same way, like I feel like I've seen these things about a building on fire. And, you know, Airport is like, you know, like Die Hard happening or Speed. You know, these disaster movies, I feel like over my lifetime, I've seen a movie set in an airport, in a building, in a plane, boat.
They've got a basement, something that exists in the world.
I know, but they're part of that. It's good though. I feel like I'm looking for new ones though. Yeah. You know, I've seen a hospital, and I don't know. Like, I'm looking for a new setting.
Have you seen The Abyss?
Yes, underwater. Yeah. Like with them breathing in the
that's a good James Cameron.
It's a very good movie. I mean, if you read into the story of how The Abyss got made, we might have even talked about it on this podcast, but it was like a fucking
disaster.
Yeah. People involved.
Yeah. So read that. They all end up getting stained skin from the water.
Actors put themselves through hell for the day.
Pardon me.
Bless you.
Fuck.
Anyway, there you go. That's a bit of Triforce podcast.
That snuck up on me. Sorry.
That's all right, Sips. Sorry. We're sorry. You're allergic to what? Do you want to talk more? What you got?
I'm just going through Steam queues and I found Winter Resort Simulator.
Mm. Oh my god.
Oh, it's crap. Don't bother. I won't. No, I played it. It's garbage.
Okay.
And on that bombshell.
I'll hook you up. I'll hook you up.
And on that bombshell. Yeah, yeah.
I'll hook you up with some tips after the podcast. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Much love.
All right.
See you next time.
Peace, everybody. Love you. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.